Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Special Middle East Ambassador Robert Strauss arrived in Jerusalem today to reassure the Israelis that there has been no change in U.S. policy. Dan Raviv reports.
Strauss made no effort at all to hide the nature of his mission. He told reporters he had no need to be coy or less than candid. He said there has been tension between the United States and Israel, and then Strauss met with Prime Minister Begin for over 2 hours trying to dissipate that tension. Israeli officials said Begin was prepared to point out in detail what Israel considers signs of a change in the U.S. Middle East policy. Notably, Israeli concern that Washington is working toward a dialogue with the Palestine Liberation Organization. After meeting with the Prime Minister, Strauss said little about the lecture he had presumably just received.
I don't want to get into differences now. I happen to be a positive fellow.
Strauss offered just one example of the reassurance he had given to Begin, saying the U.S. has no intention of changing or weakening the key United Nations Resolution 242. Earlier, Strauss compared the disagreements between the U.S. and Israel to an argument within a family whose members still love each other. Israel is trying to make sure that that family relationship is like two brothers on an equal footing, rather than the United States acting as a father scolding Israel, the naughty child. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Andrew Young submitted his resignation as U.N. ambassador on Wednesday in Washington. He quit because of his unauthorized discussion with a PLO official last month. Young was in New York yesterday, then he returned to the Capitol. We'll hear about that from Lem Tucker.
Young came back to Washington for what was a previously scheduled political meeting with White House Chief of Staff Hamilton Jordan and several black elected officials. And while the meeting dealt with how best to assure Mr. Carter's reelection, Young conceded that a bit of the time was taken up with talk of his resignation and the effect it might have in the black community. Young acknowledged that some blacks are still pretty upset over what they see as his being pushed out of government. But again, he denied that that was the case. The ambassador made it clear that he was not taking the rap for anyone but himself. He was, Young made it clear, pretty calm about all that's happened, saying, "I'll make more money, have more time, have much more to do with my family now than when I was hanging around wrestling with bureaucrats." Lem Tucker, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter flies to the upper Midwest today and later on begins a week-long cruise on the Mississippi River. CBS News White House correspondent Leslie Stahl reports.
The president starts his steamboat ride down Mark Twain's Mississippi tonight after he attends an energy symposium in Minneapolis. The trip's being billed as part vacation, part continuation of the president's PR campaign to sell his energy program. After he boards the old paddle wheel steamboat Delta Queen tonight, he'll float lazily down the Mississippi, stopping 4 times in 7 days to talk about energy. On Tuesday, he'll host a radio call-in show in Davenport, Iowa. On Wednesday, it's a town meeting in Burlington, Iowa. And on Thursday, he'll take a tour of Mark Twain's hometown, Hannibal, Missouri. The White House, particularly sensitive to charges that the trip is part of the president's re-election effort, is hoping it won't look like a whistle-stop tour through Iowa with the purpose of garnering support for the state's political caucuses in January. Officials say winning support for the energy plan will be the focus. But if the president should win some support for himself, that'd be nice, too. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
From Wabasha, Minnesota, Richard Roth reports now what it will be like for the Carters aboard ship on that Mississippi cruise.
The President and the First Lady will occupy a small cabin on the upper deck of the Delta Queen. But Mrs. Ralph Colton of Buffalo, New York, who's lived in the stateroom for the past 7 days on the trip upriver, says it's comfortable, generally.
We've had 2 beds, and we've had a bathroom, and flies. And everybody's had flies. We have a swatter. That's the first thing I notice. First thing you go in the room and kill the flies. But they really don't bother me. Some people really, you know, are bugged with the flies, but they don't bother me. And these are lazy flies. They're very easy to catch.
If he wants some other activity, the president will be able to join in events ranging from morning yoga classes to evening kite flying, with the 11-11 in between, an 11-lap jog around the decks that begins each morning at 11 o'clock. If that generates a hearty appetite, there's plenty of food on board. Provisions loaded here included frozen walnut layer cakes, frozen blueberry crumb cakes, frozen asparagus spears, and frozen egg rolls, which should provide some interesting menus on the trip the Delta Queen's operators call Frontier Adventure. Richard Roth, CBS News, Wabasha, Minnesota.
As a matter of fact, the operators boast of what they call the Delta Queen's sumptuous dining and exquisite cuisine. The ship, they say, preserves in grand style the romance and pageantry of a bygone age. The threat of major oil pollution this morning is mounting along the South Texas coast. David Dick reports the latest from Corpus Christi.
The Coast Guard reports thin lines of oil, called moose, 2 miles long and 15 yards wide, 2 to 3 miles from the shoreline of the North Padre Island National Seashore. This oil is expected to wash ashore within the next few days. More oil is poised 25 miles east of Port Aransas, Texas. Broken patches of sheen of as yet undetermined origin have been located about 95 miles south of the Louisiana coast. Small sheen patches have penetrated the lower Laguna Madre in the Brownsville area, and there are plans to modify the barriers which are supposed to protect this inner waterway system. Large amounts of oil came ashore yesterday just north of the Port Mansfield, Texas ship channel. One official here says the oil which has come ashore so far represents only a fraction of what continues to build up in U.S. waters in the Gulf of Mexico. David Dick, CBS News, Corpus Christi.
The man who until yesterday morning headed the Justice Department is going to work for the city of Atlanta. Martha Teichner tells us about him.
Atlanta Mayor Maynard Jackson is fighting his city's high crime rate by hiring Griffin Bell to work with him.
Former Attorney General Griffin Bell, who returned Atlanta this date, at my request, this date, has agreed to serve as my special advisor on crime. Will be meeting immediately with me, with Public Safety Commissioner Lee Brown, and Chief Napa to offer this city the benefit of his considerable, profound expertise in the area of law enforcement. We thank Griffin Bell.
Mayor Jackson announced Bell's appointment last night when he requested television time to discuss the crime problem. Bell will serve without pay. Atlanta's crime rate is up 29% this year, according to FBI statistics, and the city has had more homicides so far this year than all of last year. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Atlanta.
John Sawhill, president of New York University, has reportedly been appointed deputy secretary of energy. Both the New York Times and the Daily News say President Carter has chosen Sawhill to succeed John O'Leary, who submitted his resignation under White House pressure as of the end of August. Sawhill has no comment on the report. Since this is the year of the child, the UN Working Group on Slavery, meeting in Geneva, has been examining reports from the London-based Anti-Slavery Society for the protection of human rights on child labor in various countries. Alan McGregor has details.
According to the Anti-Slavery Society, India has the world's largest child labor force, some 16.5 million children aged 5 to 14. The problem is at its worst in cities because of the influx of rural poor, whose children, in the words of the Society's report, are treated as adults when old enough to walk, having to fend for themselves and help their families survive. While the Indian Constitution forbids factory employment of children under 14, child labor continues because of sheer economic necessity. The same applies in Hong Kong, the Society says, with children at work economically exploited in conditions often both unhealthy and unsafe. The Society estimates that Colombia has about 3 million economically active children from the age of 5 upwards. In some occupations, it says, they work 13 hours a day. Alan McGregor for CBS News, Geneva.
The Commerce Department reports that the gross national product, the total output of the nation's goods and services, declined 2.4% during the second quarter. That's a revision of a preliminary estimate that the GNP had gone down 3.3%, so the figures aren't as bad as was thought originally. Even so, government economists say the revised figures provide further evidence of the drift into recession. Corporate profits in the second quarter also declined from the first quarter.